Over the last few weeks, Sony has found itself at the center of a global controversy. The film production arm of Sony experienced a massive data breach that led to the leak of sensitive information like internal emails and salary lists. The fourth wall was torn away, and Americans were captivated by the revelations about what really goes on in Hollywood. It now appears that the Sony leak was connected to the film The Interview and to threats of attacks on theaters that planned to show The Interview on December 25th. Last week, the FBI concluded that the cyber attacks on Sony were perpetrated by the North Korean government. The leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, denounced the film in June when he learned that its plot revolved around a CIA attempt to assassinate him with the assistance of a couple of bumbling journalists. The law currently offers little to address the Sony hack. The European Convention on Cybercrime is designed to simplify some of the jurisdictional issues that arise when cyber attacks take place across national borders, but North Korea has not ratified the ECC. Regardless, that convention was designed to address cybercrime by private actors, not government actors. The treaties that govern the relationships between nations are not very helpful here either. The United Nations Charter prohibits member states from using or threatening to use force against other members. If the threat to attack theaters came from the North Korean government, then that would certainly violate Article 2 of the Charter of the United Nations. But what about the data hack? Experts around the world argue about how international law relating to warfare can be applied to cyber conflicts. Some forms of cyber attack can cause physical damage, similar to a conventional attack, like the Stuxnet worm that destroyed hundreds of centrifuges that Iran was using to enrich uranium. But if North Korea is behind the attack on Sony, the economic and reputational harm that resulted would probably not rise to the level of a use of force under international law. Earlier this year, the Department of Justice issued an indictment against some Chinese hackers who hacked U.S. commercial enterprises on behalf of the Chinese military. The indictment is for violations of federal law, especially the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. But it is very unclear if this indictment will be anything other than a symbolic action against wrong behavior that the law, as it currently stands, cannot address. The same problems now arise with respect to the North Korean hackers. What we need is an international treaty, and preferably the creation of a third-party organization to evaluate cyber attacks between nations that resulted in substantial economic harm. This new organization could evaluate state-sponsored cyber attacks where the harm was more economic than physical. It's a new kind of warfare. Under the current paradigm, we know how to seek limited sanctions against a country for bad behavior, but we do not know how to address cyber attacks by nations in a meaningful way. Cyber conflict equalizes the playing field, making it more feasible for less powerful countries to damage their adversaries. The law has fallen far behind the technology, and the governments of the world must work together to bring international relations into the information age. I'm Jay Kazin.